Hello, and welcome to First Free Will Baptist Church's digital service for January the 10th. Glad you were able to join us. Today, we're talking about, can you change your character? How many times have you been a part of a conversation where somebody's like, people never change? Well, as a Christian, that's kind of hard to bite. It's kind of hard to take that and believe it, because that is the business of what churches do. I mean, we're in this to have Christ change lives. And if people can't change, what are we even doing? The bottom line is I believe without a shadow of a doubt that the Bible can help us change, even change the things we think that can never be changed. Change your character, who we are. To change our personality, to change our likes and dislikes. I fully believe that God can change us. In today's text, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to answer that question. Do people change? Can you change the hardest things about you, your character? And I'm going to draw the question about character. Character means so much to me. It is who I am. And it's not how I am perceived. It's literally who I am when the doors are shut. When no one's looking in, it's just me by my lonesome. Only God is looking at me as who am I? That's the kind of thing that really changes an individual. I believe that if we will try and dive deep into this, we'll turn out better in the end of it. Today I want to remind you that you are not stationary. That God can change you. God can make you better. And if you think that you can't be better, I would honestly say there is nothing in this world that is perfect. Everybody can be better at something, can be changed to better suit a better lifestyle, or a better prayer life, or a better giving life, or a more peaceful life, or a more gracious life. There's so much that the Bible talks about who we're supposed to be as Christians, that there is no room for anybody to say, I've got it all covered, I'm good, I don't need any change, I'm fine. I don't believe that's true. As we dive into John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, read these verses, they're going to be on the screen with you, read them with me. John chapter 5, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begot loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, and we love God and keep his commandment. Here's the thing. When Jesus is talking to us in this text, and he's telling us, listen, he says, you have to love me and love others. He's telling us that our character and who we are, we immediately love some people and we don't rub the right way with others. It means that it's going to be harder to love, harder to get across, harder to connect with other people. And he tells us something here that I want us to look back at. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me. It says, whosoever believeth in Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begot loveth, so him also that is begotten of him. So not only are we commanded to love God, but we also are commanded to love those who God loves, and those who have accepted him as their Savior. So we have this responsibility to other people to love them. Look at verse 2 with me. Verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God. So this is the evidence. He says, when we love God and keep his commandments. So God gives us an easy way here. He says, if you'll just keep my commandments, I'll tell you how to love people. So a lot of people, they like to think that they have to love somebody in their own mind. And they have this idea that you have to love someone in a particular way. If I feel love, then other people feel that love. That's not true. It's an art. It's literally getting to know somebody and finding out their likes and the dislikes and loving on them and helping them through their problems and helping them through their needs and helping them through their own hurting of themselves. A lot of people, they're so critical about themselves. And it takes somebody to really come in and help with that. We are commanded to love people. There's something along the lines of this that I want us to talk about. When we do not love people, when we do not love God, and his commandments to love other people. It breeds in us a lack of love, which breeds into another point of hate. One gives in to the other. When we start ignoring people or people groups, or we start putting titles on people that they don't deserve, we ostracize them from our love. We keep them back. And one of the greatest things that hurts us at that point is that when we keep people at arm's distance, we tell them, listen, you're not worthy of my love. And that's the hardest thing, and it breeds hatred. And a hatred is a poison that comes home from the inside, and it's very difficult to purge out unless we go back to the source. And that source is getting back to God. And by getting back to God, we get into this point of following His commands. One of the favorite verses that I love about this, that God does not distinguish one people from another, we're all equal, is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And the idea here, and I love that first part when it tells us to honor all men. Honor all men. There are no distinctions here. He says, listen, everybody deserves respect. And that's where, if we were going to put this down to our character, as I truly see this and how it's been a loss, we don't respect people anymore. If they have a separate opinion, if they have, respect that. Respect that they have the freedom and the willpower to think. You know, try and win somebody by logic and try to win somebody by love and compassion. When you beat somebody into submission, whether it be mentally or physically, you never win them, ever. They just are subservient to the powers that be. They are never converted. They are never thought of. So literally by respecting people the way that God tells us to, we win them and we love them. I truly believe what this world really needs is a resurgence of parents teaching their children, schools teaching their students, and the government teaching everybody that's underneath them, leaders in all aspects teaching respect. Not just for the ones that are overhead, not just for the kings and the queens, but honoring all men. One of the greatest things we can ever do in our culture, in our people, in our character, is not overlooking those people who would typically go unnoticed. Whether that be a grocer, or whether that be a homeless man, or whether that be a janitor, you know, and even in higher ups. One of the greatest things one of the most common things you hear about people up top, and we've heard this phrase, it's lonely at the top, because nobody treats them like normal people. Nobody honors them like normal people. Nobody just remembers their birthday. It's always for a cause or for gain. We've got to get back to this idea of honoring people. By loving God, we are being consistent about loving other people as well. When we love Him and we keep His commandments and His commandments be a part of our life, we commit to loving even the least lovable people. Our enemies. The Bible tells us to love our enemies, to bless them, to cherish them. I mean, it literally tells us to be a part of their lives. We're called to as people as to honor and to love. And when we love God and we love Him the right way, not out of obligation but out of a pure heart, we take His commandments and we test, and when we test our own selves, our character is changed and we make our lives better by being obedient to Him. When the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love all people and we're supposed to not hold anybody out and honor all men, we begin to see what it is that God has told us to be, has commanded us to be, that we're not supposed to be a respecter of persons, says He is not a respecter of persons. All men are created equal in His eyes. And then we get down in the text where the Bible tells us that we're supposed to love God, and by loving God, we love other people, because God cherishes every individual. He doesn't hold one person above another. We are all equal in His sight, and so all men should be equal in our sight. If we go down to verse 3, verse 3 is the part where things begin to really hit home about character. Verse 3, read it with me. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." What I love about this, and it sticks out every time I read this verse, His commandments are not grievous. But I don't want to get too far ahead of that, and I don't want to get so excited to get to the part that I love. Look at that first part with me. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." By keeping His commandments, we show God that we love Him. And it's the same thing with anybody else. We show love by obedience. We show love by sincerity. We show love by consistently being there when they need us. One of the greatest things that I have come to realize in my own faith is that God does not need me. God does not need me to pray. God does not need me to be righteous. God does not need me in these stretches, but He wants me. And He wants me to be obedient, and He wants me to be a part of His family, and He wants me to be close with Him. And God wants you those things too. He wants you to be close to Him. He wants you to be part of the family. He wants you to have that fellowship. And the greatest way for us to do that and to not impede this relationship between us and God is to be obedient to His word. And not just the ones that we like, but all of them. And then we get down to the latter part when we talk about loving God by keeping His commandments. And by keeping His commandments, it's not just an outward learning, but an inward. It's a heart base that I believe these things and I know these things to be true. And we see that when He begins to tell us that they're not grievous. Look with me. He says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." His commandments are not grievous. They're not difficult. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this, even prior to being saved. I've heard people say, "I was not made like that. My wires are crossed. I'm different." And we talk about our defects, and we talk about our inconsistencies, and we boast them. That's who I am. You know, I am an angry person. I am not a loving person. I'm not a lover. Or they continue to say flaunt their flaws. And when we talk about it in our relationship with God, and it's like, "I'm not going to change because this is who I am." We are not solid creatures. We are not statues. We have an ability to change and adapt and to be better. And then what the Bible is telling us here, he says, when His commandments are not grievous, it doesn't mean that they're all going to be easy. It means that we can do this. He's not asking us anything that is impossible here. When He tells us to love people, it's not impossible to love somebody. It's not impossible to love our enemies. It's not impossible to be the people that God asks us to be. His commandments are not grievous. They're not difficult. One of the things here about grievous, it can also be translated as burdensome or weighty, heavy. They're not something that we just go, "Oh, being a Christian is so tough." Or it's like, "Oh, this is so difficult." It's not. It's really not that difficult. It's just, let me boil this down and why people say these things. I believe, and matter of fact, as a pastor who's been with people, I know these things to be true. They are self-evident. Being a Christian is not difficult, but saying no to ourselves is the most difficult thing. We don't want to change. We want to hold on to that grief, and we want to hold on to those burdens, and we want to hold on to that pain because we think it defines us, and that pain does not define us. We have freedom. We have a freedom to be this great nation and these great people, but if we continue to hold on and we continue to refuse to change, and we do not respect and honor and love people, if we do not come to God and say, "God, here is my brokenness, fix me, and I will do what it takes on my end to have this fix," then listen, if we do that, if we go to God, we will be made better. So to recap before I get into my third point, there's two things here that I want us to talk about, our character and implement, and those were my points. The first one is like, you don't have to harbor hate. We are commanded to change our character to a loving nature. And I know some of you, I know some people who listen to this, he says, "Well, I can't change who I am." You can. There's only one thing that gets in the way of us changing who we are, and that is our pride. Our pride in saying that this is the way I've always been, and I will always be that way. Don't buy into the lie that you're telling yourselves. You can change, especially when God is the one who is helping you with this. "Greater is He that is in me than is in the world." I can change. I can. I have become a new creature in Christ. The Bible is constantly over and over and over telling us that we can be better. The second part is that not only are we called to have love in our heart and to purge out that hatred, but we are strong people. As Christians, we have the strength to overcome ourselves and our difficulties. He tells us not to quit. He gives us there in that last verse, he says, his commandments are not grievous. They're not difficult. And it might look like difficulty from the outside in, but as Christians, we hold the power to help us push through the difficulties, to push through the negative, and to push through the hate, because the love of God abides in us. The last verse, or my last point, is that we don't quit. We don't quit. Matter of fact, I could go into the stories about how that was the greatest thing my father had ever taught me. But it's something that I'm going to tell everybody from here on out. You know, because I knew that from even a young age before I accepted Christ, that quitters never win. I can remember the stories, and I can remember the time so vividly where my dad commanded me not to quit. He would not let me quit things. The idea of quitting, to me, it's a bitter taste in my mouth. And as Scripture teaches us, we are not quitters. We continue, we endure to the very end. Matter of fact, on top of that verse, let's look at these last two verses together. Verses 4 and verses 5 of 1 John chapter 5 say this: For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Three times was this word used in this passage, overcometh. Now, I know that that's a big word. I know that's an uncommon word, especially with a TH at the end of it. But in the King James, it carries a very important principle. That TH at the end of it means to be continuing. It's not only done. He not only overcame or overcomes. Overcometh has a future participle to it. It has a future understanding to it. So that an individual not only did overcome and is overcoming his difficulties, he will continue to overcome. As Christians, we overcometh. There is nothing that can stop us, because we solely believe that God is greater, and his power rests upon us, that we will not quit. Because of what he did for us, we will continue to thrive. Now, I'm not going to lie here. I understand how a lot of us feel right now. COVID has really destroyed our common nature. Our daily lives have been changed for the worse over and over and over again. It's been detrimental to our social status, or our social gatherings. It's been detrimental to our work. It's been detrimental to our families. This virus that we're fighting, that we're struggling against, and I encourage all people to fight this virus the best that they know how. But it's not just the virus. We have hatred in the world, and we have pain, and we have conflict, and we have all these things that are just coming together, and it is a perfect storm of difficulty. Even finances right now are one of those things that we're struggling to get by. And I want to encourage you here to see what this verse is talking about. When it says, he has overcometh the world, I wanted you to see what this verse is saying here. Look back at verse 4 with me. And it says, for whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. There's so much that the world has thrown at us. There's so much the devil has thrown out at us. In this past year and a half, it has been such a difficult move for a lot of us. But listen, don't let this world destroy you. Because as a Christian, God gives you the promise here, he that overcometh, he that continues to fight the battle, he that continues, he says, that is the individual. Read with me. For whosoever is born of God overcometh. If we will come to this fact that we are children of God, we instantly have this understanding. If we have this faith, this solid ground that we are the children of God, there is nothing that this world can do to stop us. We are the children of God. Say that with me. I am a child of God. I immediately, when I come to this understanding that God has saved me from my sin, and that I have freedom from my sin and my shortcomings, and the world is going to fight me tooth and nail. Don't ever think that we get a free pass going into this world and into the next. No, this world is struggle and trials. It is struggles and trials. It is the most difficult part. I had a preacher tell me this one time. It is boot camp. It is boot camp until we get to the prize. This is the training grounds. This is the hardest point of your entire lives from here on to eternity. It is this moment. Stick it out. These trials and tribulations, these hardships, this difficulty, this storm will pass. It's only temporary. So seat yourselves in this understanding. You're a child of God. You can overcome. You will overcome. You say, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't have that much faith. I don't have that much strength in me." Well, that's fine. I want you to know something. There's two verses here that I want to throw up at the screen for you. And I want you to read them, and I want you to put them in your heart. Look with me. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to," listen to this, "every man the measure of faith." He tells people here, he says, don't think of yourself as this great Christian individual. Don't think of yourself higher than anybody else. Don't think of yourself as this monster Christian. He says, think of yourself as soberly, that you're just an individual, that you are common with everybody else. And then he goes on to say this, and I love this. He says, because God has given every man a measure of faith, a little bit. Whether it be a little bit or a lot, everybody has faith. I constantly tell our church people this, and I constantly let this be known. You do have faith. It's just what you put that faith in is what's key. As a pastor and as a teacher of God's word, and God commands us that our faith should be put in Christ and put in these things, and that's what's going to make us grow. That's what's going to make us overcome. Second verse. We see that every man has faith, and it depends on where we put that faith. And I want you to see this. It's not amount, the amount of faith. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 says, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence into yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you." Even the smallest amount of faith can do great things. If you'll just put a little bit of faith in God, if you'll put a little faith in His plan, if you'll put a little faith into changing your character, if you'll put a little faith into changing your life, it will happen. Nothing is impossible. If you want to better God's kingdom, if you want to serve God, you can. You can. You don't put yourself in a box. You're not a statue. If you want to change who you are, it is within that grasp. God can help you do that. God can help you change. God can help you be made better. God can help you through the difficulties. God can help you through the shortcomings. God can help you with your failures and your sins. He can make you the person you want to be. You want to be a good husband? God can help you with that. You want to be a prayer warrior? God can help you with that. You want to be a giving individual? God can help you with that. You want to be a better father? God can help you with that. You want to be a singer? You want to be a preacher? You want to be a missionary? You want to serve God and you want to have a great, calm, peaceful life that overcomes trials and tribulations and hardships? You can, but don't think life's going to be easy. God is reminding us over and over and over again, three times in these two verses, that overcoming is key. And to do that, we see verse 5. Verse 5, "Who is he that overcometh the world? It is he, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." Going back to faith. Faith is what pushes us to the end. I want you to have a life that you feel comfortable with and that you feel secure, that you don't doubt, that you don't hurt, that there is no pain. That's what I really want. But that doesn't mean that you won't have fights, that you won't have difficulties. As we go into this coming year, the sequel of 2020 is what it looks like, as a friend of mine posted. This is the most difficult time that each of us have fought, that each of us have continued to battle, and we're doing it together. So in your own personal life, when you're trying to get through this, I want to tell you a few things. Don't sell God short. Don't sell His power short. If you come across any difficulty in your life, know that God can handle it. Know that God can be your strength in the time of need.
Secondly, don't sell God short. And don't sell God short, and don't sell your ability short. I remember, look back in these verses, and what I told you, especially in Matthew chapter 17, it says, nothing is impossible unto you. There's a lot of things that God won't give us. God's not going to give us filthy riches, and God's not going to give us the things of this world because we ask them amiss. That's what James tells us. We don't pray for things that aren't in God's plan. If you want those prayers answered, then you align yourself and change yourself into God's mindset and God's will for your life. But I do want us to state this. Nothing is impossible, because the most impossible things that we face always come from the inside. It's always that doubt and that hardship. And don't sell your ability short. There's a lot of things that God can do and will do if we'll just ask Him. The last thing that I want us to be reminded of, and maybe this is different. Maybe a lot of people think of these things differently, but every time this brings me comfort when I think about it, I always question God's character. I always put it in my mind, and I'm like, God, I don't see what you're doing. This is difficult. This is hard. This is painful, and I don't want to go through this. And I ask God, why do you do these things? And I'm always brought back to God's character being, He's never going to give me something out of an evil spirit. It is always for my betterment or for my growth. God wants me to be better. And so the difficulties that I face, God's going to strengthen me through those things. He's not going to throw me out in the middle of a dark place and say, listen, find your way back home, James. No, He's going to put me in that dark place, hold my hand through it, and say, come on, let's do this together. This is going to make you stronger at the end of this. You're going to be able to help other people out throughout the end of this. You will be a useful vessel, a useful tool to me when we complete this, and we'll do it together. You see, God is constantly training people and helping people a long time, and He's still doing it today. God has not changed. He wants what's best for you. God can and God will. The only question is are you going to allow Him to do such in your life? Thank you for joining us today. I know that changing us can be a difficult subject, but I don't want us to fall into a pit that we are who we are and we're not going to change. I think change is a good thing. I think change helps things grow. I mean, I'm so glad that I'm not the person I was when I was 5. I'm glad that I grew in size. I'm glad I grew in maturity. I'm glad I grew in a lot of ways from then to now. And it's made me a better person. I encourage everybody to look deep into their character and what changes them. Are they overcoming? Are they fearful? Do they have hatred in their lives? Are they burdened about being a Christian? These are the questions that really and truthfully change us for the better. And I want to encourage you to do some soul searching and to ask God to help you be the person you want to be and you know you can be. Thank you for joining us. My name is James Bradley. I'm the pastor here at First Free Will Baptist Church in Moorhead. I hope that this video catches you at a blessed time, and I hope that it continues to bless and continues to prosper throughout this coming year. We love you. We're praying for you. Please like us. Share these videos. Put a note in the comment how God speaks to you in the comments. I really am encouraged when God does works in people's lives through these videos, and I know He does. So thank you for coming, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye now.